Proverbs chapter 8. Last week we went through chapter 7 of Proverbs, and the title of that sermon was basically Remembering Wisdom, and that the lessons of wisdom must be constantly remembered. So in quick review of this chapter, in verses 1 through 5, we see that there are an invitation to retain wisdom. The request does not change, and we're going to hear more of that tonight. We need God's wisdom, and if you don't think you don't need it, you don't think you don't need it, you're in problems.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible says a whole bunch of things about that. You're foolish. The second thing is, the resolve must not change. We need to serve God with all of our heart. We need to seek His wisdom with all of our getting. The third thing is the reply cannot change. We need to follow it, and then the result will not change. It will guide us into what we need to do. So the first thing was is an invitation to retain wisdom. But some people don't like to remember. And there are implications if you don't remember things. You'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time if you refuse the lessons of wisdom. If you do not learn from the Bible, if you do not learn from past mistakes, you'll be around the wrong people. You'll be exposed to the wrong attractions. And then you'll take the wrong actions. So you can be wise and be blessed. You can resist God and reject God and be basically in trouble. The third thing is that verses 24 through 27 basically is an imploring or a begging to choose the path of wisdom. Three things. Pay attention. Pay attention. And then protect your heart, and then perceive the dangers of going the wrong way. So as we get near this ending of this section on wisdom, the first nine chapters, we're going to see another lesson tonight on wisdom. And so tonight, the message is knowing wisdom. And this is just not understanding what wisdom can do for you. This is understanding who wisdom is. Because knowing true wisdom is knowing God. Knowing true wisdom is knowing God. This is a long chapter. We need to kind of jump into it tonight and see what goes on. In verses 1 and 4, we see a familiar theme. All these chapters are an invitation to listen to wisdom. And in verses 1 through 4, we see the cry of wisdom. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." So the first thing we see in this passage here is that the cry is here now. If you go and you read through the Psalms, you always hear the psalmist crying out to God for deliverance. We always cry out to God when we need Him and we're in trouble. But do we hear the cry of wisdom? In verse 1, there are two questions. Doth not wisdom cry? Can you hear it? Are you even listening for it? And then the second thing is, in understanding put forth her voice, are you looking for this? So the issue is the answer is in front of you. Wisdom's in front of you if you would just listen. That's great guidance for anyone today. We all need God's wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, James chapter 1 says, ask of God who giveth to what? All men liberally. So the cry is here now. Folks, there's not a day goes by that you don't need God's wisdom. There's not a day goes by that you don't need more of His wisdom. There's not a day goes by that you should not learn some of the more deeper things about God's wisdom. The time is now. The cry is now. And now in verses 2 through 3, we see kind of a repeat of what's in chapter 1. Because it's in chapter 1, it says that wisdom is out on the streets crying. Wisdom is everything else. But look at where wisdom is crying now. Wisdom is standing on top of the high places. Okay? And in the way of the passage of the past, where people cross each other's paths, where roads meet at busy intersections, at the gates of the city, at the entry of the city. Because you know, it's what you let into your house, what you let into your city, can either be a blessing or a curse. And we need to be very discriminatory about what we allow into our house and what we allow into our lives and what we allow into our church and what we allow into our city. It says here, she cried at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. The places where people of authority sit. The places where leaders sit. That's where wisdom is needed most. That's where wisdom is needed. So the cry is where wisdom is needed most. And the third thing here, in verse 4, is the cry is to those who need it the most. It says, unto you, O men, I call. Why? Aren't we smarter than what we were yesterday? Well, my Bible tells me this, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So, we need God's wisdom. Everybody needs it. And my voice to the sons of man. So in verses 1 through 4, we see the cry of wisdom, a familiar theme through these chapters. Verses 5 through 9, the second point is we see the call in the cry. The call in the cry of wisdom. The passage says this, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Once again, chapter 7. Hate the things that God hates. Suppose I hate those things. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is none forward or perverse in them. We've seen over and over again, put away the forward mouth. Don't speak perverse things. Don't do the wink, 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 tap your foot, give the little secret signs about something innuendo-like. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So here we see several things. The first one is, do not remain in your present state. You know, we keep on seeing the message over and over and over again, then obviously we're not learning the lesson. Obviously there's something that we have to do differently. And in this case, Solomon is continuing to talk about wisdom and say, hey, oh simple, understand what? Wisdom. The simple are the ones that just, you know, believe everything that the internet says. Ah! You mean that stuff on the internet's not true? There's a lot out there not true. Okay? Or believe whatever you hear your friends say. What? You mean your friends don't speak truth? Yeah. You know who we should listen to? God. That's where true truth is. That's where true wisdom is. And so don't remain in your present state. Oh, you simple understand wisdom. And then, so you don't understand what fool simple means. Ye fools, you have an understanding heart. You don't get it. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people in churches today that just don't get it. We need a life change. We need a wisdom change. We need a life direction change. And so, don't remain in your present state. The second thing is, look at what wisdom offers. Look at what wisdom offers. Excellent things. Right things. truth, no abomination, righteousness, nothing perverse in it at all. Kind of sounds like Philippians 4:8, doesn't it? Whatsoever things are true and just and lovely and of good report and of any virtue, any praise, what? Think on those things. You know, God's word doesn't change. And so just look at what wisdom calls to offer. You know, we always say that the grass is what? Greener on the other side. Let's get on God's side and see how green the grass really is. Let's get on wisdom's side and see what we can find. And then the last thing, wisdom requires a willing heart. All through these chapters, we've seen that this is a heart issue. You can be the smartest man on the face of the earth, and without Christ, you're on your way to hell. And in God's eyes, you're a fool. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God, is the what? The beginning of wisdom. So, wisdom requires a willing heart. Now, it is a heart issue. And I want to go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about the Old Testament and the law and what they've got there, and people not understanding, the Judaizers not understanding, the Jews not understanding. In verse 12, he says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use what? Plainness of speech." Folks, I'm going to tell you the best way to witness this is, this is what I was before I met Christ, then I met Christ, and then this is how I am now. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for mankind's sin. God put all man's punishment on him. He was buried for 3 days, and on the third day he rose again to show he has power over sin, power over death. He's ascended up to heaven, leaving sin in the grave, and now he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe. Can't we say that? It's simple. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. You don't have to be a theologian to understand what the Bible says. It's simple. It's simple. Most people have said that they've analyzed this as written on a fifth and a sixth grade level. Okay? And if they have shows, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Okay? You ought to be smarter than this. Or at least know that what this says. It says, not as Moses. And remember when Moses went and he went up on the mountain to talk to God, his face shone and he came down, and because he had the glory of God on him, people thought he was radioactive and wanted to move away and run away. So he puts a veil over his face. And that veil is symbolic. It means it's a separation between the glory of God and man. And so it says here, and not as Moses put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But look here. Wisdom is not a head thing, it's a heart thing. And it says, but their minds were what? Blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. See, you have to have a willing heart to have wisdom. You got to have the veil taken away. You got to have all the obstructions taken away. All the obstacles taken away. We say, I surrender all. That's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be what? Taken away. So we have to have a willing heart. So we see the call and the cry. Thirdly, we see the comparison in the call. The comparison in the call. Verses 10 through 13, it's written, it says, receive my instruction and not what? Silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. Another familiar theme. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Basically, what it says, I work with discretion. I work with discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I what? Hate. So we see some comparisons in here about the call of wisdom versus the call of the world. The first one is that wisdom's worth is better than the world's wealth. Wisdom's worth is better than the world's wealth. It says, look, receive my instruction and not silver. Receive knowledge rather than gold. Wisdom is better than what? Rubies. And then not only that, if you didn't get those three things, it says better than all the things that you could ever desire to have in this world. So wisdom's worth is better than wealth. Wisdom's way is right rather than wrong. Wisdom's way is right rather than wrong. Verse 13, verse 12 actually, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. You know, we're so cute at times, aren't we? We think we can come up with a scheme and put it over on everybody. You find out pretty quickly as a child that you can't snow your parents. Okay? You find out pretty early in your employees that you can't fool your boss. You can't fool God. Don't think you're going to be so slick that you can pull something over on Him. If you're trying to work around things like that, you're not showing wisdom. You're not showing wisdom. So wisdom's way is right rather than wrong. And then the last thing is wisdom's will is the same as God's will. So off one verse there, okay? So it says the fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. Okay, now let's look at what that verse means. It means if you like doing bad things and you know they're bad, then you don't have the fear of the Lord in your life. Okay? And guess what? The respect for God is the exact same thing that wisdom says to do. It says here, it says, and the forward mouth do what? I hate. So it starts on the first part of this verse. It says, the fear of the Lord hates this. And then I, wisdom, hate the same thing too. So we need, as Christians, to start getting on board with God. We've already seen it previously, last couple of weeks, that we should hate the same things He hates. Love the same things He loves. Do the same things Christ did. So we see the comparison in the call. Wisdom's worth is better than wealth. Wisdom's way is right rather than wrong. And wisdom's will is the same as God's will. Verses 14 through 21 talk about the consequences of the call of wisdom, if you listen to it. In verse 14, we see the basis. His counsel is mine and sound wisdom. And then to make it totally understandable, wisdom here, and we're going to see who wisdom really is here in a minute. Wisdom here is the personification of understanding. It is, she is understanding. And I have what? Strength. So we see four things here. First of all, any sort of good counsel through any sort of situation is from wisdom. Anything that comes from God's wisdom is sound. The third thing is that understanding comes because that's what wisdom relishes in and personifies. And then the last thing is you have strength there. So this is the basis of the consequences. If you follow wisdom, you're going to get four things in the rest of this passage. The benefits in verses 15 through 21, the first one is you have wisdom to lead. Wisdom to lead. You know, we are all leaders of one way or another. Parents, you are leaders of your children. Okay? You may be a site lead in an employment. But we're all supposed to be witnesses for Christ. We're supposed to lead others to Him. We're supposed to lift Christ up. Because Christ says, if I be lifted up, what? I'll draw all men to me. Okay? In Proverbs 15 and 16, it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. These people will be good if they follow God's wisdom. Later on in Proverbs, we're going to see when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. But when the wicked reign, the what? The righteous mourn. Our country, our city, our county needs this wisdom. Our churches, our families need this wisdom. And if we follow sound, if we understand that counsel comes from God's wisdom, that is sound, that it has strength, that you get understanding, then we can lead. Wisdom's crying out the same message as before, in the same places as before, to the same people as before. Do we listen? Do we listen? So the first benefit is wisdom to lead. The second benefit is wisdom to discover. In verse 17 it says, I love them that love me, and those that what? Seek me early shall find me. So see, if you think that you've got all God's wisdom you need to dig deeper. You need to seek, and you will discover that you don't know much. Remember Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba hears about Solomon's wisdom. And she comes with a whole big entourage to Solomon, and she asks him hard questions. And she says what? She says, I heard about this, but it's not even half what I actually see. And so we need God's wisdom, because we need wisdom to discover, which means that we need to keep on discovering. The third thing is we need wisdom's wealth. Wisdom's wealth. Already better than silver, but already better than gold, already better than rubies, already better than all the things that you can desire. In verses 19 through 20, it says, riches and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness. Now, we all know what durable means, right? They will last. Christ said, don't lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up your treasures where? In heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. Are we kind of seeing about this wisdom thing here? Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I would rather be poor on earth and have the riches in heaven than to be rich on earth and not have heaven. We need to assess our priorities every day. What are we searching for? We sang the song tonight, more about Jesus. Are we looking for more about Jesus every day? Or are we looking for more about stuff? More about Jesus shows wisdom. More about stuff does not. So you have wisdom to lead. You have wisdom to discover. You have wisdom's wealth. And the last thing is you have wisdom's way. verses 20 through 21, he says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. I'm not on the fringes of the path. I'm right down the middle. That's what midst means. Going right down the middle. Okay? That I may cause those that love me to what? Inherit substance, and I fill their treasures. Sounds like a verse that's often quoted. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things be added unto you. See, God's Word doesn't change. The Old Testament and the New Testament are exactly the same. You know why? Because we have an unchanging God. So we see the consequences in the call. Now, before we go to the next passage, we need a little bit of background. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, John's writing about the deity of Christ, and he says this. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now let's look at verses 22 through 31, and we see wisdom's congruency with Christ. Congruency, what does that mean? If you remember geometry, if you had two congruent angles, they were the same. Congruent triangles, they were the same. Okay? Wisdom is the same as Christ. And I want to point this out here right now. The congruency with wisdom is in the beginning of eternity. In verses 22 through 26, the proverb says this. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. So before there was a universe, there was what? God. In the beginning, God. So wisdom is God. Okay? When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before there was anything, there was God and there was wisdom. Okay? Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor as highest part of the dust of the world of men, wisdom existed. Because wisdom is God. Knowing wisdom, knowing true wisdom, is knowing God. So we see it's the same in eternity. We see it's the same in creation. In verses 27 through 31, when He prepared the heavens, so I'll read that one. I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depths. Okay. Everything in the universe is round. Okay? I'm sorry for you people that still think that we live in a square earth, in a flat earth. Nope. It's round. Galaxies are round. Everything can be explained in a conic section in the universe, and conics are round. It says, a compass upon the face of the earth. When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, it kind of sounds like Genesis 1, doesn't it? When He gave the sea His decree, and He made a firmament so the waters be separated from the waters, and then He made dry land to appear and put boundaries on the seas. And when He gave this to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Remember what God said at Christ's baptism? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? on the Mount Transfiguration? Hear ye him? Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So wisdom is the same as God in the eternity, in the beginning of time. It's in creation. And I'll pass these two verses along with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:24, knowing God's wisdom is knowing Christ. Knowing God's wisdom is knowing Christ. In verse 24 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and what? The wisdom of God. Verse 30 of the same chapter. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, without wisdom there'd be no God. Without God there'd be no wisdom. They're congruent. They're like. Lastly, verses 32 through 36, we see the commands of wisdom. The commands of wisdom. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. That's present tense, folks. That's not, well, I did all this stuff in the past and I was a pretty good guy in the past. What are you doing now? What are you doing now? Are you acting wise now? Last year's over. It's done. What are you doing now? Because what you're doing now shapes your future. So now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that what? Keep my ways. Here, it's another active verb, present tense. Hear instruction. And be, the verb to be. That's now. And be wise and refuse. Once again, present tense. Refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Wait a second. Remember how this chapter started out? Where was wisdom crying? At the gates of the city. At the doors. Okay, at the high places where paths crossed. For whoso findeth me, findeth... Everybody say it. Life. Okay. Now, how do we have eternal life, folks? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And if you don't have God's wisdom, if you don't have Christ, you don't have God's favor, you have God's wrath abiding on you right now. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow. So there's three simple commands here. The first one is, hear me. Is God speaking to you tonight? Do you hear the call of wisdom? Are there things in your life that you know you're not doing it God's way and you need to change? Hear wisdom tonight. Trust Him. Secondly, find me. You know, something that's worth a lot of money is worth going looking for. We're always looking for the best deal. We're always looking for the best value. We're always looking for what will give me the best benefit. Folks, we need to be looking for God. Because as we've seen in this chapter, Wisdom's wealth. Wisdom's worth is better than the world's wealth. So we need to hear wisdom. Find wisdom. And then lastly, follow wisdom. Follow me. Verse 36 gives the opposite of this. It says, he that sinneth against me longeth his own soul, but all they that love me hate death. For whosoever findeth me findeth what? Life. Now, we have a choice. We can either live for God and live in wisdom's pay, or we can be dead to God and be foolish. When the nation of Israel was told to go in, God in the promised land, as they were going in the promised land, he said, see these two mountains here? You have a choice. Over here is the mountain of blessing. We even talked about that Sunday. This is what happens if you follow me and you do all that stuff, all these good things. Over here is the mount of cursing. And if you don't follow me, all these things that you thought were going to go happen to you are all going to be opposite. Tonight we have a choice. The choice is between life and death. The first choice is, do you know Christ as your Savior? If you know Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. If you don't know Him as your Savior, right now, if you died right now, you'll be eternally separated from God. The second thing is for us Christians, we have a choice. We can either live for God, or we can be like the prodigal son who said, give me what I want and I'll go off and do my own thing and be dead to his dad. We have a choice. Which way do you want to follow? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Yes, more about Jesus would I know. Is that really your prayer tonight? Is that really your prayer tonight? If you need to know more about Him, make a commitment tonight. You say, I've been going the wrong way. Turn around and get on the right path. Wisdom's path. If you need Jesus, receive Him as your Savior tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask, be this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to do what is right, Lord, and that we would follow You. Help us to hear You. Help us to find You. Help us to follow You. We give You this time. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.